hearts this morning, and that you will speak to us through your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise
Him. Amen. My text this morning is Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The text doesn't say to the Jew first in preference, just in order. The gospel of Christ, that's my text this morning to speak to you about the gospel of Christ. This verse in Romans is a statement from Paul that shows to us that there is only one power God uses as the instrument to salvation. Do you know there's something that God doesn't know? God doesn't know of any other power to save your soul other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The salvation of mankind is not dependent on any man-made system or philosophy. It cannot be brought about by the effort people have put into reform systems. Salvation can only come through the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Revelation 14:6 says this, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." So here I see that the gospel of Jesus Christ in its perpetuity, it's an everlasting gospel. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have its perpetuity, but there's also the present tense of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's now. It is the power of God. Yeah. It was, it is, and it will be. And not only that, also there is a personal application of this gospel. It is to everyone that believeth. How wonderful and how marvelous is this gospel of Jesus Christ to you and to me. Now, the Apostle Paul was castigated because of his conversion to Jesus Christ. He was accused of going against the Jews' religion. In the book of Acts, we read on a number of occasions where the Apostle Paul was persecuted for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was so persecuted, this is what he says when he wrote one of his epistles, to the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24 to 28, he says, "I more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in debts oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness." He suffers all this, and yet he can still stand and say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." For everything that he went through, for everything that he suffered, it never put him off believing in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he wrote this epistle to the Romans, he states in it that he is proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you are proud of Jesus this morning. Amen. Now the reason why wasn't Paul ashamed of the gospel was because it is the power to redeem the sinner. Because of its power to regenerate the sinner. Because of its power to reach the sinner, no matter how deep in sin they have been. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power that moves a sinner from the quarry of sin onto the plain of salvation. And I'm glad this morning for that moment in my life when the gospel of Jesus Christ was activated in my life and I was shifted from the quarry of sin and placed on the plain of salvation. But what is this gospel of Christ? The gospel is the message that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary to give us the message of good news. And you know, the gospel literally means a sacrifice for good news. People say the gospel means good news. It's more than that. The gospel is a sacrifice. What we celebrated this morning, that sacrifice has enabled you and I to receive the good news that we can be saved. Now, if salvation was effectual by introducing reforming systems, the world would have been saved by now. Because every country has got its system of reforming people. To change the lifestyle of people trapped by life-controlling problems does not have a lasting effect unless it is the way that God has determined, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that some can become clean from drug addiction following a time in a rehabilitation center. But this does not bring about a change in their nature. Their nature remains the same. A change of complete lifestyle requires being cleansed from sin, and when a person experiences the power of the gospel, it has a life-changing effect. The change is called conversion. It's a very old-fashioned word today. We don't hear much about people being converted. And how wonderful it would be if every Sunday morning in our church here, somebody experienced a conversion. Shifting them from the quarry of sin and placing them on the plain of salvation. And I tell you, there's nothing greater, nothing mightier, and nothing more wonderful than being on the plain of salvation. I'd like us to consider this morning, which is my usual method, certain points. I'd like us to consider, first of all, the gospel, that its brilliance cannot be superseded. Let that get into your heart, let it get into your mind. The gospel, its brilliance cannot be superseded. There is only one gospel of Christ. It is the only one single way that God has made for us to experience what we call the new birth. There is no other way for us to be saved. This is the way that God has made for us. Cannot be superseded by any other way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. So there is no system, no method, no way other than Jesus. And this gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be superseded by any other way to bring salvation into the lives of individual people. Its brilliance remains totally undiminished. The strategy of God to secure salvation was a masterstroke on God's part. The plan was concealed from Satan, who never saw what God was doing through Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote regarding the death of Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What a wonderful strategy of our God. Keeping it all hidden from Satan. And he thought that if destroying Christ would bring an end to what God was about, he was mistaken. Because God had blinded his eyes, blinded his mind, could not see the strategy of God. Because the strategy of God was for Christ to die, bearing our sin in his own body on the cross. How incredible this gospel of Christ is. For it was initiated by God, carried out according to the will of God, accomplished by the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary's cross. It was a brilliant plan with an eternal purpose, a purpose that has resulted in the sinner being reconciled to God. Don't forget that this gospel moves you from the quarry of sin. And the quarry of sin is a quarry where everything is nasty and everything is bad. And he brings you on the plain of salvation where everything is better. What a wonderful gospel. Its brilliance cannot be superseded. Think for a moment of some of the people who have been brilliant in their particular field. In my younger days, we reveled in watching Muhammad Ali, as he was known, Cassius Clay, who used to float like a butterfly, sting like a bee in the boxing ring, and nobody could touch him. Did you see him the weeks before he died? A shriveled up human being who couldn't even stand anymore in a boxing ring. Think of the brilliance of Dr. Roger Bannister, the first Englishman and the first man in the world to ever run a 4-sub-minute mile. Within a few weeks, his record had been broken and broken and broken. Think of Usain Bolt. And some of you revel in the fact that you come from the nation that raised up Usain Bolt. But Usain Bolt can't run as fast as he used to do 5 years ago. And so however brilliant people have been, their brilliance is superseded by somebody else. In my young days, we had a footballer in Stoke-on-Trent, where I came from, called Stanley Matthews. The greatest footballer probably the world has ever known, a right winger. He used to be able to kick a ball and place it on a man's head. And they used to say that if you put a small sixpence in the old money, in the goal mouth, and put Stanley Matthews on the wing and allow him to kick the ball, he could land it on the sixpence. He was brilliant. Played football until he was 54 years of age for Stoke City. And footballers today have finished at 35. But he was brilliant. But his brilliance had been superseded by so many, many others. And I want to tell you this morning that however brilliant people have been in this world, there's only one whose brilliance can never be superseded. And his name is Jesus. Jesus. Wonderful Savior. So it's the gospel, its brilliance cannot be superseded. But secondly, its brilliance cannot be better. Not only its brilliance cannot be superseded, but I want to speak to you now about it, that it's better than anything that's ever been. Because its benefits cannot be better. The benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be any better than what they are at this moment. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, who has qualified us to reach up to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The King James says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Yeah.
The word meet there in the Greek is to qualify.
Yes.
And so when we think about it, it is the Father who has made available to us through Jesus the qualification to be capable of accepting the gospel. We could not secure our own salvation because of our depraved nature, which made it impossible for us to save ourselves. But how wonderful it is, there are benefits in the gospel. Without the intervention of God, there would be no way of escape from the kingdom of darkness. The benefits of the gospel of Christ are those found in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Let me tell you this morning that you won't find any benefits of the gospel in the quarry of sin. You'll only find the benefits of the gospel on the plane of salvation. And my advice to you this morning is, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, accept Him today and get moved. Get moved from the kingdom of darkness, from the quarry of sin, and get translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, onto the plane of His salvation. Because God loves you, God cares for you, and God wants you to be one of His children, and God wants you to have a better life than what you've ever had before. So what are the benefits of the gospel? What are the benefits of knowing Jesus as your Savior? I'll tell you this morning, they are knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, having your sins forgiven, being justified by faith, being a partaker of the divine nature, having peace with God, being reconciled to God and having this peace with Him that passes all understanding, having brothers and sisters of every nation in the world, because He is making into one body all people of all nations who have received Jesus as their Savior. He's building one body. He said to us this morning, I will build my church. That's what He's doing through the gospel. In Romans 1:16, Paul is stating the reason why Satan is opposed to the gospel. It is because it is the power of God unto salvation. The devil is opposed to everything about God's business. But God is greater. God is better. And God wants you to experience His gospel, because His gospel ensures for you there's nothing better. Stephen Charnock, who was an old Puritan divine, as we call them, wonderful writer in the 1800s. This is what he wrote in his book on the doctrine of regeneration. Regeneration simply means the new birth, being born again. Being born again, being born without any history. See, when a baby's born, you can't go to that baby and say, tell me all about the history of your family. Because the history begins to be written when the great baby begins to grow and mature. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, all things have passed away, all things have become new. You begin to write your history. That's what regeneration is. You are born again. And this is what Stephen Charnock says. He says, this is the gospel. It begets those for heaven whom he, Satan, had begotten for hell. It pulls down his image and sets up God's. It pulls off the crown off his head, the scepter from his hand, snatches subjects from his empire, straightens his territories and demolishes his forts, outwits his subtlety, makes his captives his conquerors, and himself the conqueror. A captive It pulls men out of the kingdom of darkness and translates them into the kingdom of light. What a wonderful explanation of regeneration and what is effected in a person's life when they accept Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Wonderful.
Yes.
And there are no benefits, let me tell you, to be compared with those received by accepting this gospel. These benefits add so much to our lives, even though the benefits of the gospel themselves are complete. We can draw upon those benefits day in and day out, because God is our Savior. One of the greatest blessings of this gospel is, as I say, it is regeneration, which is brought about by being born again, which is the action of the Holy Spirit. It is the production of new life that the believer receives following their repentance and forgiveness. Do you know, I never forget that night when I gave my life to Jesus. And I knelt down by that old couch in the pastor's vestry in Dunrobin Street, Longton, in Stoke-on-Trent. 9 years of age. Asked Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me for all the things I've done that were wrong. And I got up from that and I felt I was floating on air. And the first place I went to when I got from off the bus, Cannon Street, Fenton, was to my grandmother, who was a Christian, and tell her that I'd given my life to Jesus. I tell you, it was wonderful. And that experience still lives in my heart today. And I tell you, if you've not experienced Jesus as your Savior, you should give your heart and life to him today. And let this gospel of Jesus Christ move you from this quarry of sin, from the kingdom of darkness, to the plain of salvation, into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. So, the gospel, its brilliance cannot be superseded. Its benefits cannot be better. And I'm glad of that. Finally, its blessings cannot be more remarkable. Its brilliance cannot be superseded. Its benefits cannot be better. Its blessings cannot be more remarkable. See, there are so many positives linked to the gospel, which makes it almost impossible to give an accurate account of every single one. But Peter, in his first general epistle, he says this in chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. This is what he says. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance," listen to this, "to an inheritance, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fades not away." How wonderful. If this means that the inheritance cannot be corrupted or even diminished, it is absolutely certain. The place where our inheritance is kept is in a place that cannot be broken into, which is reserved in heaven for us. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Because our lives are hid with Christ in God.
Yes.
We used to sing a little song, "My life is hidden, my life is hidden, my life is hid with Christ in God, and Satan's forbidden to touch the life that's hidden, because my life is hid with Christ in God." In banks, there's what they call a strong room. And people who've got valuables have their valuables put in a box in the strong room that's in the bank. I only know that from knowledge, not from experience, by the way. But the valuable is in a box in the strong room in the bank. My life is hid with Christ in God. It's in the strong room, it's in the box in the bank. My life is hid with Christ in God. How wonderful is that blessing? The blessing to know that before the devil can touch you, he has to ask permission of Jesus. And Jesus will not give him permission. What could be better than this gospel? The gospel that ensures that we have this inheritance incorruptible, that can't be diminished in any way. How wonderful. The blessings of the gospel. They cannot be more remarkable. There's a chorus we used to sing which says, they are more in number than the sand. They are more in number than the sand. They're great, they're glorious, they're grand. His blessings, they are more in number than the sand. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? Think of all the sands on the seashores throughout the whole length and breadth of this circle of earth, and his blessings are more in number than the sand. Ha! And not only that, there's another song that we used to sing, it's a hymn in our redemption hymnal, which says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Amen. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Amen. Wonderful, marvelous. It's the gospel. Are you happy about it this morning? Amen. Are you happy about the fact that you have been chosen of God to be a partaker in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you could only come to the Father through the Son? He's the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. So Paul, after all he'd gone through in all his Christian experience of trouble, turmoil, strife, difficulty, starving, hungry, beaten, whipped, he could still stick his chest out and say, I am proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because in all the places that I have served Jesus, and I've gone from Antioch in Syria, across to Cyprus, across to Pamphylia, right the way through Galatia, across into Corinth, down through Ephesus, back again to Jerusalem, and in all these places, I have seen one remarkable thing happening to people all the time. It was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I saw their lives transformed and changed by the power that there is in the gospel. Amen. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform and to change a sinner. I was a sinner, saved by grace, and you can be exactly the same this morning. So my advice to you this morning, if you have never ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do so this morning. You will never ever regret it, because the gospel, its brilliance cannot be superseded. Its benefits cannot be better, and its blessings cannot be more remarkable. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1 and verses 8 and 9, he says this. Steve can put them up for me. Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel that can save your soul. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray.
Amen.